Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we'll be discussing Chapter 55 with special guest Mike Kalinowski. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, we needed some more sad music.
I can't believe it.
Yes. This is to Michael. You haven't been forgotten. Michael could
never
forget.
I was crying like every 5 seconds this episode.
Hello, After Buzzers. You're watching the Jane the Virgin After Show. I am your host, Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie. And then I have my lovely hosts with me today. Go ahead, ladies.
I don't know if I can get through this.
I think you have to.
Hey, everyone. I'm Natalie Tavidian, and you can find me everywhere at Natalie Tavidian. That's Natalie with a Y. And I'm going to try to keep it together.
I know. You have to make up for every cry you missed with us last week.
Yeah.
And if it makes you happy, she cried today, everyone, and we needed her to cry.
Go ahead. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. For Jessica at XOXOCESCA. Yes.
What's up? What's up? I'm Friend Sally, and you can catch me on all things at Sally Hangout.
Hey. And then today we are very lucky because we have a very special guest on the couch with us, Mike Kalinowski.
Ladies. There's a man in the house.
Yes,
there's a man in the house.
Hey. Right?
Yay, Mike.
So Mike is Trip on the show, whom is one of Rogelio's producers on the Factor de la Vega.
Yes.
Vega Factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Thank
oh, my
you're
gosh.
So
it's
happy.
A
cool
Vega to be here. Factor.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm really excited because he's not only on Jane the Virgin, but he's also an AfterBuzz TV host, which is what we're really all proud of.
Yes.
Yes.
He's part of the family.
I am.
He does the DC movie news for Popcorn Talk, which is a sister network to AfterBuzz TV. And then he is an AfterBuzz TV host for MacGyver, as well as Taken, which will be coming out soon.
27th, 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh!
Yeah. Very excited, based on the Liam Neeson movie series. It's kind of a prequel to that.
So,
Very excited for that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to have to join in on the gossip and how
I'd love whatever we talk about. I'd love to share.
He got to witness all of our reactions and how dramatic we are.
Did you love how vested we are in this show?
You know, it's not really. It wasn't a show that I followed the show when it first came out because I wanted to get a feel for the show. But again, it's not something that in my daily that I follow that much. But to see the fan base for the show, it's huge. So once I finally got into the show and started auditioning for it and talking to people, it's huge, this show.
Mm-hmm.
And people are trying to get the gossip out of me because I had booked this. It was the last week before the holidays started in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I was not allowed to say anything.
Yeah,
they said, you know, we couldn't talk because it was the big thing with Michael and everything. And that was all before, so it was a big with the 3 year
secret.
Time jump and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So you knew.
I was going to say because we knew he was going to come on the show, but
yeah, I could not say anything.
Oh my god!
But you knew Michael was already gone.
With my script, it did not say that. We just got the 3 year time jump. And at the table read, when we sat down, Gina had talked to everyone. She's like, okay, guys, please don't say anything to anyone. She was just kind of addressing everyone there.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, something big is happening here. But I found out how everyone else found out through the next, an hour after the episode aired.
Yeah.
The internet blew up about everything. I was like, oh, that was the big,
big
secret. And then the whole 3 month jump, because Mateo, when he was introduced at our table read, that was a big kind of thing with the little guy coming onto the show.
Oh, right, because
he's older.
He's older now, so it was this huge thing. And I was just like, oh, now. And it was like putting pieces of the puzzle together. It's like, oh, now it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go into depth with Mike's experience with the cast, with filming and everything else, as soon as we get through the episode today.
Let's do it.
All right, so we start with the flashback, and the flashback is just, you know, as always, going over everything that's happened, and then a little bit of us having to say goodbye to Michael last week, which is incredibly sad. And then we also have just a 2 week fast forward happen.
I can't.
I know, sweet girl, it's all right. so I can't believe he's gone. My hand right now. Okay. So we go, fast forward 2 weeks, and we have a very beautiful, very sad scene, which I think we needed. We needed to see Jane mourn a little bit more.
Right.
And she is talking to Abuela.
It's so dark.
Like, so literally,
yeah. They had to open the curtain.
But that's why it let the light in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very what did slowly. You say last week, Franceli, about Alba being...
The Alba was going to be the light. That yeah. She was going to be that takes her out of the darkness, you yeah. know, and that you... Because she is, like, mm-hmm. She's everything. But what I really loved and noticed was that Jane responded in Spanish.
I noticed that.
Oh, my God. Siri, girl, you be up in everything. I don't
she
like her.
She wants to join the... But I because usually, you know, Alba is always the Spanish representation.
Wait, time out real quick. Tell me why Suri's trying to talk about Jane the Virgin, too.
What did she say?
She's like, I don't know, how would I answer about that? But she's like, I have her call me. And I was like, no one's asking you, girl. Relax. Go ahead.
No, but I was saying that, you know, Alba's the Spanish representation, but, you know, Jane and Zoe always respond in English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that moment that they had together, Jane responded in Spanish, which I really, really adored.
I didn't
adored.
Even catch that. I did, but I thought it was Alba saying it because she said, solo un poquito.
No, it was Jane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but that's what she said. Yeah, solo un poquito,
right? Just a little bit.
That was, really nice because it always surprises me that she doesn't say even a little bit in mm-hmm. Spanish. Mm-hmm. However, I have to say, though, growing up, my you know, from... Until I was like 15, my mother always spoke to me in Spanish and I always responded in English. Mm. So I kind of understand that. But then it was one of those things where you transition into accepting who you are and mm-hmm. like being proud of your culture. And then I was right. like, I need to learn Spanish. You
right.
know? So that's crazy. But I also really love that. And I'm happy that Alba opened the curtains and that we had her. Because there's something about Abuela when she talks that just comforts us, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful.
She's all-knowing. Can we get the chat up, too?
Yeah,
that way you guys
we want to see
us
the
know.
People who's here.
Absolutely.
And if you have any questions for Mike, too, for Lida.
Yes, right now, please tweet at Cheska XOXO.
XOXO Cheska.
Oh.
XOXO
Cheska.
Or ask in the live chat.
Yeah. I love the fact that Francesca and Franceli are next to each other this week.
I love it, too.
I just want to say
So then we have that two-week period of mourning. And
that it's
was
like
really
so
good.
Much pain. And she's trying to understand from her grandma how she went through it. Because... Mm-hmm. It's like history repeating itself, right?
It is, absolutely. And I like that, you know, Abuela says it's never going to be the same, which mm-hmm. is good. I feel like when people are grieving, no one ever...
It's going to be okay. You can't. You
yeah,
can't give
and people
them
love
that.
To say, it's okay, just give it time. I wish more would just say, it's going to be hard, but you're going to have to yeah. get
right.
through it.
Right.
Oh, have you guys been through a loss before? Mm. Well, yeah. Not, I mean, not always, yeah. Mike.
Not to that extent. Not,
right?
not like that.
So
no,
close
no,
to you,
no,
right?
no. Yeah.
My dad.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That's why, like, last week, that collapse was so real.
Yeah.
So real. I was on the radio when I found out about my dad, and I collapsed. So that's why I was saying that Jane needs another Golden Globe, because the she's real. Like, the realism of... As an actor, to be able to go there and portray that so authentically, mm-hmm. someone that has lost something as great as a parent, and a husband, I can only imagine, I'm not married, but the oneness that comes with and the devastation that comes with, she did that so authentically, because that's what it is. You literally feel like you've lost a part of yourself.
Right. So then, you know, I think it's important that they did, I like that they did the 3 years jump, because mm-hmm. there's obviously a lot of grieving, but we need to see the side of her that's doing okay, so it mm-hmm. was just so necessary.
Yeah.
So we jump forward 3 years, and we find out who's getting married. And it's Rogelio and Darcy!
Yeah. Or so we thought.
We were all scared for just a second, and then we found out that it was part of the De La Vega Vega factor.
Vega.
It was so cool watching your guys' reactions, because I knew it was a joke. Like, right. I knew what it was, but you guys didn't. So
it's kind of,
it was great. It was awesome to see that. Yeah, and to see...
I was so relieved.
I know, you guys. It was so cool to watch you girls... watch the show when I knew what was going to happen.
I bet.
We're like, it's just for TV. It's just for TV. Okay.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And then that's when we see our very own Mr. Sweetface.
Hiding in the bushes.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Sweetface. Yeah. Our very own. I love your character already just because of the calmness. Like, I can tell that Rogelio is going to be very fond to you because you know how to speak to him already.
It was interesting because in the script, I think it said the exact words were a douchey producer.
Right.
That was where it was, but I think just kind of with the director and I and what had happened and just on the set there, it didn't come off as douchey as maybe originally was supposed to be, but because I was kind of working with Rogelio a lot and kind of being in his corner.
Right.
So I think, like what you said, it came off as, like, I know how to speak with Rogelio. Yeah. And that's, like, he's a difficult person to speak with. Because
you handled it so well. I mean, who knows? You could probably still be the douche that's going to be manipulating
you. I don't want to give anything away and stuff.
Reality producers are known to create the drama.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Talking to with the director, there were some people that they had in mind for my character of what they were kind of shoehorning it to be like. So obviously people they've worked with before, which is really kind of cool.
I thought it was great. It was super funny, super cute. And remember, I asked him during the show, I was like, hey, what are you mixed with? Like Polish and what? And
you're Italian.
Polish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some reason, during the second part, when you're talking to both Rogelio and Darcy, I thought I heard an accent when you're talking to him. And it was so funny. I was like, maybe he's just really tuning into the Miami thing, because that was great.
That scene was... Jaime is so funny.
Yeah.
Just backstage, on stage, his character, who he is, it's just, he's such a good guy. And he made me laugh so much during that scene. Mm-hmm. And they just kept building and building and building. They had to bring me down a lot because I was getting wrapped up going it with them.
Yeah.
Because he has so much energy.
Oh, he's so constantly, much energy. Constantly. Yeah. And all my scenes so far have been with him.
Yeah.
But which is amazing. Great.
Who doesn't
want to
have scenes with Jaime?
Yeah.
He's
great.
How similar is he to his character?
I would say identical.
Really?
And I don't know because of just the limited time with him, but he's just, everyone loved him on set. He was friendly with everyone. It's almost a larger-than-life personality, but not fake. He didn't feel put on, like, he's acting like this. Mm-hmm. He just seemed genuine, and that's who he was.
I could imagine, because I know his accent's authentic, no?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just
real. If it's not, I didn't hear it drop.
He was a real method actor.
Do you guys follow him on Instagram?
And even I think Rogelio has a Twitter account that's not Jaime, the actor, but it's a Rogelio one. I don't know if he does it. But it's pretty hysterical. That's pretty awesome.
I was on a plane right before this, and the very last page literally last page of the Southwest magazine was a little blurb about Jaime. I meant to take a picture and like text you guys, but I forgot. But that was kind of
so
cool.
Awesome.
Little news and gossip over there.
Southwest magazine. Real quick, I tried pulling up the live chat roll on my phone, but I can't. If we can get it on the screen, hopefully, it'd be fantastic, so we can interact with some of our viewers. Stand by, heard. Okay. All right. So we watch them getting married, and we find out that it's not real, and we also find out that it did not work out. We find out that it doesn't work. They have these issues, but now they want to prolong this reality series, even though it made Xiomara awful.
So upset. Poor Zoe.
She's the reality villain.
I love Zoe. Zoe's the best.
And we saw that Bruce and Zoe are living together.
Yes. Yeah. And they were talking about that 3 years ago.
She said that they'll be moving in soon.
Yeah.
So
that happened.
That's all happening. And then Tripp comes in and, you know, tells Rogelio that if we do one more season of the De La Vega Factor, that he can have his Passions of Steve. How wonderful is that? I love that they chose that name.
Why is his name Steve, though? I don't know how I feel about Steve.
I think because to make it American. You know, I was just talking about this.
But there's so many American names.
And I was just talking with one of my coworkers about the other day that why does there have to be like an English translation name for a Spanish name? Why can't it just be the Spanish name?
Right, I agree.
Do you mean like...
Like in Spanish class? Hi, I'm Pedro's
Juan.
Pete?
Yeah, but you can call me John. But no, your name's Juan.
Well,
yeah.
I actually said I wanted to use the actual Armenian accent to my name when I worked in television news.
Oh, say
and
it.
I
say
had
it.
Some Natalie Tavitian.
Oh my God, yes!
Oh,
yeah.
Wait.
Natalie Tavitian.
Why you don't introduce yourself like that all the time?
Natalie Tavitian.
For this show, from now on?
It's not Tavitian, it's Tavitian.
Tavitian.
Hello. Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah, but I was told they would never toss to you like that when you're out on the field. Nobody would ever pronounce it that way, so.
And that's understandable, but fortunately, this is Jane the Virgin. And this is the after show. We got Natalie Tavitian. Passions of Steve. Still can't believe that. Oh my God. It's so like Passions of Tom.
It's just easier.
So that's going to happen. I'm excited for it. And then We're really happy because I guess Xiomara and Rogelio hadn't been talking for a little bit. And Abuela and Jane made them meet at a dinner and they had to reconcile.
Right.
And then what really got to Xiomara was after hearing Jane's reading that she's like, you know, family is family. We're always going to be family. We're always going to be in each other's life. Let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm. I didn't sense that Zoe was as angry as she wanted to be about the reality show. I didn't sense that much anger from her.
I feel like she was angry, but I think she just realized like, what it was. Did you all peep out when Rogelio said that I couldn't be with Darcy permanently?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And see Amara's face? And then she got scared when Bruce came around?
There was a moment. There was a moment there.
There was lots of moments in the show.
Lots of moments.
There was there's the scene where he's sitting outside when they're trying to reconcile again. They're on a bench outside of a studio when him and Zoe are talking last season, where he makes it clear like that I want to have a child with you and I could be with you permanently. And so I think it was really nice to hear Xiomara hear that, but at the same time,
she's now a Bruce.
I feel like she questioned where, like, her. She must have felt something real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So that's the storyline right now between that trio. And then we have, we see the new Mateo.
Oh, he's so cute.
Actually,
just
question
cute
about Mateo.
Yes.
How was he just talking to everyone? Was he talkative and everything?
They brought him into the room in the table read. And in the table read, it's the whole cast. And they put us at this giant long table. And then the director there, but then surrounding is like the writers and I guess the editors, producers, costuming was in. There was a ton of people. The cool thing was they had the narrator. Like, he was
Anthony,
on a giant screen.
Shout out.
He was on a screen.
Oh, yeah,
at the
he's
point.
In New York.
Yeah, he was on the screen narrating as we're doing it. So it was the coolest thing I've been a part of. But they bring in Mateo, and I think they were saying that, like, when he came into the audition, he just nailed it.
Yeah.
And they were bonding in the table read together. She's on his lap, sitting there.
Aww.
So
that's amazing.
It was, you could tell that they had something there that the casting was like, oh, that's him.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was.
Mommy, so daddy, every
so,
time.
I'm
so amazed at kid actors like that they're just in the read through.
Right?
He's sitting there by himself flipping his script pages, and I'm just like,
stop.
I was like, I've got two lines that's coming up. I was like, am I going to say them right? And this kid's like, you know, reading them off, drinking his water.
Oh,
and
no.
Just the natural.
I don't remember. There was a little girl sitting next to me. I don't know if she was the blonde. But I don't remember having the two of them there, twins. There was another little blonde, so I think maybe her scene might have got cut.
Well, there's the twins, Ellie and
Anna. But this was a little blonde girl, but she didn't have a twin with her, so she was another in the birthday party scene. She had a line.
Oh, pause. Oh, yeah. Or she could have been she's probably the little blonde that found the body.
That was it. She was. And even her. She knew she's like looking, flipping through a script.
Amazing.
She has it highlighted. She knew when she was going to get there. It's like,
you
they're so professional.
I'm so horrible because I would be so jealous. And I was like, why wasn't I like that when I was a kid?
Right? That's fascinating. Can we talk about Ellie and Anna?
Yes. I love that they switched up the name because they got tired of the Frozen reference, Elsa and Anna. So we didn't have Ellie and Anna. But yeah, we also see the girls.
Yes.
And the girls called Jane Auntie Jane.
That's adorable.
Amazing. And they love their big brother. That's my favorite.
And they just
let it go
wrong.
Yeah.
He could do nothing wrong.
Yeah, it's okay. He just hit us through carrots in our face.
It's
okay.
Right.
We're just
sharing.
But I think it's so ironic that Petra, who was the mom that was like struggling with motherhood and I don't want these kids, her kids are the well-behaved. She's the head bit in charge.
Yes.
When it comes to the PTA meeting, you know, like there's just all this other stuff happening, which you would have envisioned Jane being that person,
exactly.
You know, and Jane's the one with the troubled child. Like, it's just so funny to see how, like,
but he knows he's troubled.
Yeah.
I think that's so cute. He's like,
especially when he talks
to
him,
bad boy.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad boy, mommy.
That was just too cute. I was gonna ask you all what you thought about how Jane's kid turned out to be what you thought Petra's kids would be
Right. I'm almost not surprised because I think that's what's good about Petra being so strict. I mean, she's a child of Magda, you know? Like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And Jane, I don't know, not that I don't have children, so I can't tell you how to raise your kids, but, you know, I just feel like Jane is very soft.
Yeah.
She's Zen Jane when it comes to Mateo,
she lost her husband.
She lost her husband, so I think that has a lot to do with everything, and I'm sure what it is for Mateo when you're younger, you see all these issues happening, and that's why Jane was like, don't yell so much and everything. I don't know how child development works, but I don't know. It's just funny, and I don't know if it's like a cultural thing either. I don't think it is, because Francelli and I were saying how we would have given him like
A spanking. Un cocotazo. Listen. That couldn't have been my child. Like, again, I can't tell y'all how to raise y'all kids, but my dad didn't play no games. Right. Like, he just had to look at me, and I was straightened up. Mm. And I don't have children yet, but I have 7 nieces and nephews. And you're like, pow, pow. Yeah. I don't play that. Like, no, that timeout stuff don't work in our culture, I feel.
Thunder. Come on.
I think I would be just like Jane when I become a mom.
I think you would too.
I'm not surprised.
I would literally take off my chancleta and be like, you see this chancleta?
Yeah. I'm like, one. Yeah. Don't let me get to three.
Three. Okay, I'm going to start over.
Right? I hear that stuff like in the supermarket, the kid's going crazy and the mom like gives them a second chance and I'm just like.
You see, my dad used to count and he'd get to 2 and I'd be like, oh, and then run over and I'd try to hold for 3, but I couldn't. But the whole thing is that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are like, that's abuse, and it's just the times are very different, and sometimes spanking and hitting does affect certain children, but I think that falls under building character in your child and knowing that
I think the martial arts is going to work for
I think
Mateo.
It was brilliant. I loved that.
It was a great idea.
A great idea of who? Mr. Zen Raph. Yes. So our beautiful man is back. Papi Chulo.
How do we feel about el amor de mi vida?
How do we feel about the beard?
I love the beard.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I have a weakness for men in beards.
Do you?
God. Thank you, God.
For men in beards who can pull it off.
Right. Because beards are kind of like what they say girls are with, like, makeup and extensions, right? Like, I feel like guys with beards or a hat could look fine. And then he takes that hat off or that beard off and...
How you doing over there, Mike?
I'm doing good. I'm getting a whole new insight into women here. This is fantastic. Keep going, ladies.
I'm not a huge fan of the beard.
What?
But because I don't really like beards. I feel like sometimes they're like, ooh, sucio. Like, just yuck.
They got like the cream cheese still left over on their tacos.
I've never been involved with someone like that, but I always get afraid, like, what is there going to be like some leftover scents from something? Like, do you wash it? Do you shampoo it? Do you condition it? How does that work?
It works.
I don't know how it works for Mike.
It looks great.
I actually don't think he looks good with the beard.
What?
I like it.
It's a little too overgrown.
I
think he would look nice with facial hair, but I think it's a little... He looks like he's been on an island.
Yes.
A prison on the island for like 3 years instead of...
Especially with those linen pants, which I love, he said. I bought one. Linen pants.
Like he's on his way to become Jesus.
Yeah. How do you get out of jail so zen, though?
Yeah.
What happened in there?
The same way... Well, I guess I can't say that about Malcolm X. Oh, I couldn't remember that.
Wait, what?
I was going to say, you know, the same way Malcolm X had, like, his whole...
Transformation.
Mm-hmm. However, but he was more of the violent one, whereas Martin Luther King was, like, the peaceful one. Mm-hmm. But I think that when people are, you know, when you have time to yourself, you have to reflect and just...
And he used it to become
Zen. Yeah, and besides, he went into jail wanting that clean slate.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yeah. But so we see this whole new dynamic, which I think was wonderful. I love that. And we find out that Petra and Jane saw each other once a week.
Yeah, that was awesome.
On brunch, you know, to be there for each other when Raph had left. So that was also great. And we see that last little brunch scene with Raph and putting his napkin. And that just goes to show you the way that we love to look up at our dads or at our parents just to copy them.
Right.
And I'm happy that Raph is that for his children.
Yeah.
That's incredible. In addition to that, there's one more person in the dynamic. I don't know who she is.
Talk about her.
Who are you?
We need
Why
to.
Does she exist?
Who invited you?
Her name is Allie. I mean, what?
Abby?
When I see her, all I think is Friday Night Lights.
Is that the girl from it?
Yeah, she was in Friday Night Lights.
I just think, you're pretty, but I don't care.
But they've never fought. Like, that's
what'd you say?
They've never had an argument.
Oh, yeah. Which is why I don't trust her.
In an entire year?
I feel like, and you don't have an argument, but I do feel like having at least a heated discussion is a means of getting to know each other.
Yes, I was going to say that, too.
No two people agree on anything. We don't agree on anything here.
Because define fight, right? Because it's like, I can have a fight with you or be upset with you and just never yell or call you out your name.
Right.
Like, I can have a mature adult argument.
Right.
But I just feel, and I think it's so funny because Stephanie was like... feeling some kind of way, like, Raph and Jane are supposed to be together. But remember last week, Stephanie wanted to say that she hopes Raph and Jane don't get together.
But that's just because I was still hurting about Michael.
She was in shock about Michael.
I'm still in shock. Yeah. I'm going to be in shock for a very long time. I'm very upset right now. I keep telling people,
I'm like, you don't watch the show, do you? Can I talk to you about it? I'm like, because Michael dies.
I've been doing that too.
Yeah, and I'm like, and this is a character that just wasn't supposed to die.
My poor brother wanted to get lunch with me. I'm like, get this. Yeah. He's like, I don't know who you're talking about.
He's like, help, crazy. Check please. Yeah. I think that, I don't know, right now I don't get a bad vibe or weird vibe from Abby. I think she was just brought in to show how Zen, like, Raph is,
been here
and
for
to
over
get
a year.
And to make you, because I think a lot of people thought in 3 years maybe Jane and Raph could get together,
right?
But there has to be some sort of dynamic in there. It's, they can't just get together easily. It can't just be.
This is gonna be like all the great shows, this is gonna be like Dawson's Creek. You know, they Pacey and Joey get together at the end, and they were always best friends, which. I love that they say this in this episode.
Jason, I love you're that my best too. Friend.
He's like, yeah, I know.
Love
I
that.
I know too. Second, I also okay. know
for
that.
A split second, I was like, kiss.
No.
Kiss.
You know what? I don't want to see it because the one thing that Jane and Raph do well is build tension and build that moment, and we're going to have a tree moment again.
Right.
A tree,
a tree moment. But I love the little fist
They will prevail.
I want to ask you, Mike, how was... Like, you had mentioned when we were watching the show, just you could tell the dynamic of the cast was amazing.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, and how was it during the read, like, with Raph and Jane?
Yeah.
Especially those two.
Gina and Justin.
Yeah, Gina and Justin.
It was, I'd been on a few table reads before, and I had no context for them, but seeing this group, and it was our first, we were the first episode back from the holiday break, and everyone was just so nice to each other. The dynamic, you could tell... that everyone loved each other there. Yeah. It was all, like, one big family. And I was like, oh, so those other shows that were done, oh, they didn't like each other very much. But this group did. And so when you're saying with the two of them, you mean, like, the actor and the actress together?
Yeah. Like, how was it at the...
They were sitting... They sat next to each other. And they just had, a chemistry. There was just this familiarity with them. It didn't seem like... Because I didn't know Michael at the time was not there. I didn't know about that. I wasn't... You know, but there was a bit of an awkwardness when they were talking about that. So now I'm putting it all together now. So
right, okay,
yeah.
Yikes! I'm sure they
couldn't give too much away.
Their chemistry is like unbelievable, especially during the time like because I mean Jane was married to Michael, and I still saw the chemistry between her and Raph.
Like, how do they not? This is just in general. I mean, this actually happens in real life, but how does? Every co-star not end up falling in love with their co-star, you know?
But that's because a lot of co-stars do.
Like, that's what I said.
On Gilmore Girls, Alexis Bledel dated all three of them.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Lucky her. They are fine as F.
It's called showmance.
I didn't know this.
Showmance.
I didn't know this tidbit of info.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
It's real, though.
I can't believe Corey and Topanga never got married.
Right? I can't believe Meredith Grey and Patrick Dempsey, or excuse me, Ellen Pompeo and Patrick Dempsey weren't together.
Well, she was already married.
I know, so was he, but whatever.
Well, we saw what happened with the...
Oh, yeah.
We're not going there.
Because there was drama in the showbiz, Okay. It doesn't matter. All right, meep, meep. So we see this beautiful dynamic. I love this new crowd. We're going to see who Abby is and if she sticks around. Hopefully she doesn't. If she does, fine, whatever. We'll deal with it. But then we have some good times with Jane and her novel and her writing, her art. And she is still working with Chloe. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And Chloe is like trusting her and definitely gives her all these manuscripts. She really does believe in Jane's vision. And then there is an opening that is called, did anyone write it down? One Time Miami Read.
Yeah.
One Time Miami Read, I believe.
One Night Miami Night Read, something like
that. Yeah. Miami's Must Reads.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Something like that. Sorry.
Someone tell us in the comments.
And so then she turns in hers. What do they say? So
that's the Billie Jean. I love Billie Jean.
Every time they showed Michael's picture, the Titanic played in my head.
Don't say that. It's going to make me cry.
And for those of you who didn't watch last week, that was the song we opened with.
Yeah.
And it was stuck in my head today, too.
Yeah, it was very appropriate.
Really funny.
So appropriate. Yeah. I love the fact that Jane
cry
has
right now.
The cat Michael wanted.
Give Jane a break, man. Give her a break.
She's strong. That's good. Let her represent us women out there.
She's really strong. She is. When she was up there reading.
But she has a moment of weakness because then she does win the little spot, the seventh spot to read her novel. Mm-hmm. And we all thought this was the novel about Abuela and Cecilia and
that was
all of that. Yeah. And we find out that Jane wrote an entire new novel about the love story between her and Michael. And it's called Snow Falling, like the very first time that they kissed when there was a hole in the ceiling.
And it gives me goosebumps. And I can't believe that happened.
And then she has a breakdown moment. She thinks she's not going to do it. And that's when we see our papacito come over. Right? Raph comes. He's like, no, you're not going to go on. This is what I've always loved about him. He knows her. He gets to her and he has this love for her. And it's just there.
It wasn't like Raph came in and he was like, oh, no, let me give you a hug. Right. He was like, get it together.
Wipe the tears and not cry.
And he knows how to speak with her.
But it was perfect because the whole episode, he had been so zen that then he finally...
I want Michael back.
I know. He finally was strong.
But helps you to get there, I think.
Yeah.
I like that Natalie's saying she sees all this because now there's no longer any teams.
Right.
No Team Michael, no Team Raph. It's just like, let's see where this chemistry...
We're Team Love.
We're Team Love, guys. Team love. The world needs a little bit more of it right now, okay?
And then Jane does a very beautiful and successful reading that leads to her being offered to get her book published, leads to Xiomara forgiving and reconciling with Rogelio, which we'll see some romance probably sparking there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this moment and she feels better about, you know, Mateo. Her and Raph are able to discuss that they do need an aid for Mateo because he's been having behavior problems.
Hopefully, I don't think they're that bad.
They're pretty bad.
Not that bad.
I'd be like, Mateo, oh my God.
Mateo's so cute, but he would annoy the crap out of
me. Listen,
he would get hit.
That chop to the cake.
That's what I was going to say. Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see all that, but that's what comes out of it. And then last but not least, the Marbella has been
redesigned. The second happiest place in the world.
Yes. And this is Petra's project. I like the way that she explained it to our gator boot wearing
over
at the adult hotel next door.
All right.
With his deep ass voice.
Well, you thought he was good looking.
He is good looking. Happy bangerversary, Chuck and Petra. So yeah, they have a little romance there, but there's an issue. She tries to blame him, and it's not her fault. And then we find, which by the way, the whole pirate idea for the kids—that's brilliant. At a hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scavenger hunt.
But the scavenger hunt leads to finding. Can we have a dun dun dun?
Dun dun dun.
Do we have them?
Do we? No.
No. Dun dun dun.
Yeah. Don't think anyone's there today.
It's okay. Scott is found.
Oh. And where's Scott? And where's Scott?
That might not be Scott, but still, something went.
There we go.
Right there.
It's a good one.
There we have it.
Hold on, there was a vest. We saw the vest.
We saw the vest, but it could have been anything. I mean, the last episode, we see that Rose is back with Luisa and they're involved. We also see that Aneska is with Scott and they have the paper. I mean, and then Aneska, they said that they split. Maybe Magda came back out of prison and then brainwashed Aneska, or Aneska thought that Scott, who knows, anything. It could be anything.
Right, there's so much going on.
I was, the whole time, I thought that the little pirate and that bird were actually going to be like Luisa and what's her name? Or something like.
Oh, in the costume, yes. I thought it was gonna be.
It was gonna be them, and they were doing that because they were trying to find something and like using the kids as bait.
What ended up happening? Raph's sister and Petra's sister and like Jane's cousin. Like, there's just
Gata left. Good,
yeah,
bye.
She left. But bye, I mean, bye. There's just so much. I just feel like there's so much change.
There is so much change.
There's too much change. It all happened way too fast.
We'll find out after this when we talk to Mike about it. Anyways.
He's going to give us all the
stuff. That's essentially what happens this episode. But because I want to get through and talk about you and more of the stuff. So Mike Kalinowski, like I said, is Trip on the show. You have a couple more episodes, correct?
I did film one more. I booked a third, which I'm shooting this week.
Excellent.
I just read the script for it, so I know a lot of what happens. So this was technically, this one that aired was called, it was 311. Mm-hmm. It's season 3, episode 11. I was in 312, off 13 and 14. I'm back for 15, and script for 15 leads it into something pretty cool for me, I think. Ooh. But it's cool. It's interesting to see because I know a lot that you guys are talking about. Like, I know a lot of stuff that has happened. So it's like, oh, no, I can't talk about it. But well, for me personally as an actor, it could be something really cool.
Excellent. Yeah. You know what? And all of the producers that, anyone that works with Rogelio, they come back a lot. So I'm I'm excited about your character because I feel like you have...
See, I want to talk more, but I can't because... The script I read today.
It would give us a lot.
It gives away a lot.
Okay.
Even what happens next episode.
Yikes.
Is
I'm not lying. Yeah, I'm gonna ask. So and then just a little fun fact, so all of you guys know, Mike has also had scenes in Vampire Diaries, Castle, nice. Revenge, Young and Restless, from soap opera to novella. And then yes, and then I told you already about his AfterBuzz TV shows.
Yeah.
So that's just to throw that out there. And then what else can you tell us about as far as like the live reading goes, or actually, excuse me, working with Jaime? Like, did you guys interact? Did anyone try to give you advice?
I think you know, for these shows, the series regulars, I think they're so used to people
coming
like
in
me coming in every single episode. There's, you know, 4 or 5 co-stars probably, like the guy playing. This southern guy, mm-hmm. I forgot his name. He was a guest star, and I've seen the actor on a lot. So for my type of role, I think they're used to the change in and out. But then on the second episode, when I came back, he's like, "Oh, hey, how you doing again? What's your name?" So it was much more familiarity there. And again, like with this role, it was only supposed to be one episode. It was a one episode co-star.
That's awesome.
I go into the table reading, that was it, and then I had a fitting. And I'm getting my costume, and I'm, you know, and a couple girls in there, and she's like, "Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get all the episodes today. We'll worry about that." And I just thought they were talking to the girls. I'm like, "Okay." I was like, "How many costumes do I have for this?" She's like, "Well, you got 2 for this episode. The next episode, a couple. Then after that, you got a bigger role." And I was like, "Am I recurring on the show?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, I tried to play it off. I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I knew that." And I get outside and call my manager. I was like, "Am I a recurring character?" She's like, "Oh, we're working out the contract and your episodes right now." But yeah. So,
that's awesome.
And it's weird for me because I've never been in this where if it's been recurring, it's been like 1-2 episodes maybe.
Right.
But this is like after the second episode, I didn't know the script mm-hmm. and where it ends. I was like reading as like, oh, I could see where they would go with my character if he comes back. And I didn't hear anything for a couple weeks. And then I was on vacation and I got the thing from casting saying, "Hey, they want to. You're in the outline for the next episode, so we have to pin you." What's called like, don't work during this week. We're probably going to use you, but
nice.
Yeah. So I don't. It's
on that
crazy
note,
for me.
I'm going to go into predictions because my prediction involves you.
Okay.
Predictions
for the next episode or.
No. So my because of that, okay. I assume then Rogelio's series is going to kind of go big.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to do the Passions of Santos. They're probably going to have Passions of Steve. They're probably going to have you on as the... You're like smiling because you want to know what I'm guessing. Like,
sitting
there thinking these girls are so good at predicting. So good.
After the second episode, what happened at the end of the script, I was like, oh, they could go this way with it. And then I got my new script. I was like, oh, they did. They're going to go that way with it. So I can't tell you.
I'm just kidding.
I can't tell you.
So you think he's going to be the producer on
Passions
of Steve?
Because who's the other Latina that does that is his producer that Rogelio used to be involved with sexually?
I'm blanking on her.
Right, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
I know her real name. I know her real name.
What is it? That's the actress. You don't know it.
It just left my brain as soon as you
Judy Ramirez.
Judy Ramirez. Okay, so Judy Ramirez, I'm sure she's recurring because she's one of the main hosts. And then there's the 2 executive producers that come back randomly. So then if he's involved with the La Vega Factor and Passions of Steve, you already know Rogelio's going to be stuck on it. So we're going to see what you do, whether it's manipulation to try to get something more or if you have an involvement with Darcy. Maybe not.
I enjoyed working with Darcy. She was a blast.
Really?
More.
Is that who you interacted more with?
The 2 of them together.
Okay.
It was always the 2 of them together. Actually, more Jaime.
Right.
But she was good. And I didn't realize she was from the, was it One Day at a Time, the new
show
on Netflix.
Yeah.
I was during the episode. I was like, she looks really familiar. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's her.
Yeah.
And she was really nice, too. So.
Do you, okay, girls, really... any predictions?
I actually liked Darcy's character. I don't know what happened.
She's so good. I still liked it, but we just didn't need her to be with Rogelio.
Yeah. I get that.
Who do you want Rogelio to be with?
Zoe. Of course.
Okay. Jane's mother? Duh.
Oh, I can't say.
Oh, my God!
No, I cannot.
Okay, what are your predictions?
No. I'm getting used to all of this. I'm getting used to all this.
Actually, you know what? Before I go into your predictions,
I'm curious to see what's going to happen, not in the next episode that I'm in, but the two between the ones before I come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they didn't send the script. I don't get any of that.
Right.
So I'm so curious to see what happens
now. So just being involved with it and then reading the script, mm-hmm. do you find yourself, like, really into the show then, kind of? Like,
yes.
It's pretty good. It's like
I got into
crazy,
the show just
it's...
watching it right now.
Oh, good.
And it's interesting because my first... To read the script and see the table read, because there's so much of the graphics popping up and the narrator mm-hmm. and everything, it's so... To see it on the screen, it's like, it's really well done.
I love it. Tam B, by the way, also thinks that you're going to be a shady producer.
Oh, shady.
So forget about the dude. She's just shady.
Shadester.
But yeah, sorry, continue. That you just coming together, it was
yeah,
awesome and done well.
It's so interesting to see that how it all works like that. Like, and how, like, the posters talk and the Michael talks to her mm-hmm. in that one scene and stuff and It's
super telenovela, but like,
yeah.
and dramatic in that way. That's why.
But
I
there's
love
nothing
it.
Like it on network TV.
There isn't.
No.
So I think that's why it does so well.
Of course, and we said that from the beginning because I promise you, after we used to see the text messages from Jane the Virgin, I saw mm-hmm. so many shows doing the same,
yeah.
which
mm-hmm.
hadn't done that before.
Now,
but it's because it's part of our culture, though.
I don't see it anymore, but Eva Longoria, didn't she have a show on NBC called Telenovela?
Yeah.
It came out over the summer, or maybe
yeah.
over the holidays, and then...
They just did one season.
And that was it?
Yeah,
that was okay.
Yeah, you know why, though? Because Jane came out, and I'm assuming that if there was any kind of drama, like, without being a telenovela, Jane the Virgin was a telenovela, a
wow,
proper
yeah.
one. And mm-hmm. because it's an homage to Juana la Virgen, which was a novela in
right,
Venezuela.
Right, right.
So that's probably why it worked out better.
And Jaime, he was huge, right?
He is.
That's
he
his
is
thing.
Huge.
He's huge.
Oh, yeah,
that's
he is.
Like, his character in life imitates our imitates
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really his life. Like, he... was
oh,
a huge telenovela star in Mexico, and I know people that have worked with mm-hmm. him, and then he always wanted to cross over. And
we were filming on a beach for the next episode, and just the people walking by noticing him, and I don't know if they noticed it from Jane. I think they noticed it from him, just who
yeah,
he was.
Right, of course.
Yeah. It was interesting to see that the
oh,
fan
so you guys were on a
is.
Beach. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that gives anything away.
The Margella's right on the beach, so.
I don't care. You're right. Never on the beach, though. You right, girl.
Ooh.
Got him.
Mike's
all getting
ready. No more questions.
Well, girl, ladies, any predictions?
Predictions?
No, I'm just wondering, I want to know if that is really Scott, because his name tag was on
right.
it doesn't mean it's really him.
Especially
right.
because the body looked burned.
Right.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, because how do you decay in 3 years? You don't decay like that in 3 years. Is it 3 years? I feel like it takes
maybe
longer.
If you're in the sand?
Possibly.
I don't know. And then if it is Scott, or whomever it is, who killed them? Mm-hmm. If it is Scott, is Inesca still alive? Did Inesca do it? Did the mom, did Magna come and do it?
Mm.
It's probably Rose. Did Rose do it? Like,
ooh.
You know,
I say
whoever.
It was Rose.
Right, Rose for Luisa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because of the will.
Well, I mean, Petra had a certain reaction to it when Raph asked about them.
Yeah,
like,
well,
whatever.
Because
happened.
Probably because she was
no.
confused as to why she never saw them again.
No, because no one knew that Inesca was still here.
Mm, right.
She had said she had left. So if she said the last time I saw them was when they got married, then that would open up a can of worms
right.
for everyone else, and mm-hmm. I don't think she wanted to jump back.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say my prediction actually came true, because last week I was talking about how, I wonder if Jane's... the whole Jane and her boss was going to be a Devil Wears Prada.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it has become that. She's clearly a B-I-T-C-H. And my prediction is hopefully Raph will kick into her butt to actually quit this job, because now she's going to be published and to just stand up for herself. I think Jane, she's so loving and so warm that sometimes she forgets to stand up for herself. So hopefully in this new transition of her being without Michael, she's going to get some backbone and people in their place.
Yes, but and can I just say, this is the reason why I loved their dynamic in the past, because I felt like Jane was pushed more there.
Right.
Where she had a very similar personality to Michael's.
Michael
where
was safe.
Yeah, he was very mm-hmm. safe and mm-hmm. compromised, and, you know, I think it's important to have that opposite with you to push you respectively.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want things to get better for Jane.
I think things are turning out.
They can't handle it. She's got the crappy boss, and she lost her husband. And
oh, but she about to get published.
But she about to get published. That's
and
really
I hope
good.
That like turns into a movie and blows up and becomes
and Rogelio
huge.
Stars in it.
Right.
As yeah. Rogelio.
As Michael. He's like, it'd be an honor to be him.
Aww. The bromance.
All right, well, Mike, thank you so much for coming
thank
on the show.
Ladies,
thank you for talking
me.
With us. We'll probably have you back on if that's all right with you.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
Excellent. We'll have you on every episode. All right, ladies, where can they find you on social media?
Bueno, señores, I'm Francelli. You can catch me on All Things at Selly Hangout. And be sure to come right back on After Buzz on Wednesdays on the 6th with me and Dan.
There you go.
Who's Dan?
Dan's my co-host.
Okay. I'm just kidding. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, XOXOCESCA.
And I survived and I didn't cry. You can find me everywhere at Natalie Tavitian.
Yeah!
All right. And Mike, where can they find you?
At Mike Kalinowski on Twitter. I'm After Buzz shows with MacGyver and Taken, DC Movie News. For Popcorn Talk, our sister network here.
Wonderful. Woo-hoo. Well, thank you everyone for watching. I hope we had a second exciting conversation. otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie, and here next week for the Jane the Virgin After Show. Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.